This episode of the Inside Running Podcast is proudly brought to you by New Balance. The global athletic leader is excited to announce an update to their Fresh Foam X range, the Fresh Foam 1080 version 11. With 360 degrees of comfort, the Fresh Foam 1080 version 11 is built for miles of comfort using data collected from athletes like you. Join the New Balance 10K Strava Challenge and get $50 off when you spend over $150 online.
Pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin.
Welcome to episode number 174 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Might be a bit of a quicker show this week. I've got one sick co-host up in Canberra, Bradley Croker. Welcome to the show this week.
Thanks, Brady. Yeah, it's Lily's been to daycare like twice and she's brought home a bit of a cold.
And now it's passed through the whole family, is that right?
Yeah, so Viv's come down with it, and I'm just at the start, I reckon.
You'll be right. You're a tough man. You'll get through it. And I've got one hungover co-host down in Anglesey, Julian Spence. Welcome to you.
Thanks. Yep, I went and collected some sickness from a wedding.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Self-induced, though, Moose, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think it's more the sleep hurts, like you're staying at a different bed and everything, and yeah. Maybe the alcohol and the whiskey's probably got something to do with it, but I reckon it ruins your sleep more than anything.
You got a race in 24 hours. Why were you getting on the drinks?
Because he's got an excuse.
Because it was a wedding.
14:09. Yeah, jeez. True. You got to enjoy yourself.
It's your friend's wedding. They only get married once. Maybe Croker, you might get married three times, but only once at the moment.
I'm sure there's a couple of lucky ladies coming up then, are there?
This is Collis Birmingham's wedding, Moose. I'm surprised you didn't drop his name in there.
Well, it was Collis'
wedding.
Big dog wedding. Yeah, it was really nice. It was like in the Wombat State Forest. It was a perfect day. It had already been postponed from last year because of COVID stuff. So it was pretty, everyone was kind of on edge as to whether it would go again, especially with the 5-day lockdown a couple of weeks ago. Because Selma's family is from Sydney. And so they had to sort of come down as soon as they could. I think they came down especially early just so they wouldn't get trapped out of the state. I think there was a little bit of relief once we got everything underway and everyone just could relax a bit more.
Very good. Tell us about your running week, eh?
So my running week wasn't that good because I think I said on the show last week I hurt my back. So on the Monday, I was really tired. I went to go for a jog. I turned around in about 50 metres just because nothing felt right. And I just didn't want to... This isn't the right time to be pushing through things that could potentially ruin you for longer. So I had a day off. Monday, I took off. Tuesday morning, I also took off. So it gave me a bigger gap of no running. And then I ran on the Tuesday night with Dolce. So haven't seen Dolce for a while. He's had some knee issues going on for like a year now. So it was good to run with him. He wants to get back into it. And that was just from work. 55 minutes, 13K. The next morning, I decided to ease back into things with a workout. So I did a workout with Ferg, who king of self-appointed king of dad group, and he had a workout. He's actually quite a good runner, so he's aiming for under 2:30 at Gold Coast, and I reckon he'd run about maybe mid 68 at Canberra half he's going to do. So we did an 8K progressive run. Also, Toby, a fella from Sydney's down in Ballarat now, so Toby jumped in with us, and we ran 8K tempo. The goal was to start 3:30s, then go each 2K we would get quicker. So 3:30, 3:25, 3:20, 3:15. We did that maybe a little bit quicker, but not a great deal quicker. The back was okay for that. It just, all my hips are feeling pretty junk at the moment. So after my back gets improved a little bit looser, it tends to sort of creep down and my glutes get really locked up. That evening, I ran from the store down the highway and got picked up on the way back home. It was totally boring and terrible running along that main road. Next day, jogged in the morning, and then what did I do in the arbor? Jogged, yeah, just 13K in the afternoon, 13.6. And on Friday, I decided to do a workout that would decide whether I ran on Tuesday or not. So I was hoping this would tell me whether my body was in good enough shape to be able to race in a few days' time. So I went into Deakin, ran a 2K in, I ran that in, I think 6:06, so 3:03s, and then changed, I was in the Vaporfly Next Percent, then I changed into the Dragonfly Spike and did 600s with the first 400 going through around 68 and then trying to kick it down, which I was having a lot of trouble with because I had no power. My glutes were all locked up. My hamstrings were just overloaded. Lower back was really jarry and tight. So
sounds like my last 2 years.
I know. I actually thought about you. I'm like, this. A lot of this sounds like what Brad talks about.
Yeah, a lot exactly.
Yeah. And you know, it just doesn't feel fun to go for a workout when it's like this.
Yeah. Even when you know you're fit, you just can't move. You just can't move properly.
Absolutely. That's what I thought at the end. I'm like, I could run that. So that is a fucking pretty easy session, really. And that shouldn't have been difficult for me. But the inefficiency of your gait when you're like this means that you're working like so much harder to generate power, and your heart rate gets higher and your different muscles fatigue quicker. So the workout got done as prescribed, which didn't really help me with my decision making. I kind of decided then that I'm not going to run. But then that afternoon, I pulled up okay from it, and the jog went fine. And then I started to go a bit heavier on the anti-inflams. Saturday morning, woke up, and it was fine running on Saturday morning. And then had a jog. Then we went to Daylesford. The wedding was just outside Daylesford. So after work on the Saturday, drove up and ran around the Daylesford Lake and stuff. And the body started to feel good. Sunday morning, woke up, ran with ran with Skillzo and Freeman, and we did 14K through some trails, or 13.5 through some trails, and everything felt really good. And so I am going to race on Tuesday. The total distance for the week was 104K, which was a proper down week for me, but I needed to because of the injury, and it's almost a taper as well into tomorrow night's race.
Exciting.
Which is the Box Hill Burn B grade race. Yep.
Such a good meet too. Like, we'll talk about it a bit later on in the podcast, and we might even try to get this show out a day earlier, Tuesday morning, so it gives people 12, 14 hours to listen to it, because we'll be talking about stuff that's going to happen pretty quick. But the lineup there is pretty good, and it's going to be good to see you going around as well. Can't wait to watch. Can you, Croaks? Be exciting.
It will be good. What's your prediction, Moose?
For me?
Mm.
Oh, I hope I can run a PB. So my PB is 14:18, I think. And I should be able to, based off the time trial that I ran a couple of weeks ago. However, this body hasn't been like great lately. So I think it'll depend a little bit on how the car ride goes, because I got to drive up to work in the morning, spend all day working, and then drive to Melbourne after that. So it's a pretty long day on my feet in the car. So excuse one, excuse two, and looks to be windy, excuse three. Still, I mean, I'm an old man now, and this is these paces are pretty hot for an old man. I reckon I'll run 14:20.
Yeah. You'll run quicker than that.
Do you think so?
I just, because I know what I ran there, like in a race, and I think the 6 months you've done leading into this race, like, yeah, the last 2 or 3 days haven't been great, but if your body is right and you're on the start line, I think you'll run in between 14:02 and 14:05.
Fucking hell.
For the you work said, you put in, you did a time trial in like 29:40 or something, didn't you? Didn't you run an out and back 5K?
29:55.
Yeah, that out and back 5K though, would you run 14:35?
14:32.
Yeah, on hills with a U-turn. And this is going to be, well, the only concern is that I heard they're going to pace it at 13:55, the B race.
Which well, there's I reckon, two pace groups.
And 14:30, isn't there?
14:35.
I reckon you're then a bit in no man's land.
Yeah.
There's 14:15, 14:20, and then kick it down off that and try run under 14:10. I reckon that'd be ideal.
I think the field, though, there's a lot of guys who are not 13:55 runners, and so there's going to be some people around me who don't want to run 14:30, but also don't want to go out at 13:55. So there's, I reckon there'll be a very long train, and maybe after a K or 2K, the train will get broken into carriages. Hopefully there's a middle carriage that I can be on.
Yeah. Just a little bit, what time's your race?
9:45.
Oh, yeah. It's only going to be like 13K wins then. 11K yeah, wins.
The wind is dropping. Yeah. The wind's dropping pretty quickly.
You wouldn't want to be up at 6 p.m.
Yeah, well, I've just got the program here. So I'll tell you what's on at 6. The women's B1K. So the first real big race is at 8:23. It's the men's A1K. And then at 8:30 is the women's A1K. And then 8:37 is the women's A5K.
Oh, hang on, I'm looking at Box Hill, New South Wales weather. I didn't even know there was a Box Hill in New South Wales. Victoria. Did you know
what
that?
What time's the men's A5K?
9:02.
Jeez, I'm in bed at 9:02, Brad. I'm going to have to stay up for this stuff, me and you, watching the streams.
Yeah, I might struggle to see you, Moose. I might be in bed after the A race.
What time are you? 9:45.
9:45. I'm not going to get home till 2 a.m.
I'm glad we're not doing a watch party or anything for this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 10K wins, 8K wins. And Box Hill's got a heap of cover anyway. This is ideal. So it's you get a bit of luck with getting that middle carriage going, and then blokes start detonating, so you got people to chase down. Yeah, they could work perfectly.
I'll tell you, we'll talk about the main race later because that is the main race. But in my race, let me just pull the list up. So there's a lot of funky seed times, I reckon, just looking at it. But you've got guys like Liam Bowden from Queensland, Daniel Canala, Liam Cashin's pacing it, Jared Clifford.
Doesn't Clifford want that world record at 13:55? Isn't that why?
I think he is the man who's asked for the pace.
Yeah.
Yep. Cody Shanahan's in the race. He's a gun. Max Stevens, Tom Thorpe. So, yeah. There's
you some... say they're guns, though, but I don't think, like, any of those guys are going under 14:10, maybe, other than Canala.
It looks like Max, based on the times they've entered, it looks like Tom Thorpe has, Max Stevens has, Cody has, Canala has gone under 14.
Yeah. Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, yep. So, oh, and then there's a guy here called Ben Moynihan who's entered with a 14 flat.
He's a New Zealand guy. When I ran my 14:09, he finished half a step behind me.
Did he? Well, he's run faster than you now. He's run 14 flat.
He went back to New Zealand and he ran 14 flat point something low. Yeah, but you know, and they made him run out into like lane 4. And I remember seeing. I reckon Justin Rinaldi might coach him, put like a tweet out saying like, this is ridiculous, it just cost this athlete like a 13.59.
Right, okay.
Because you know how when you're lapping people and stuff, and then they want you finishing out in like those lanes 3 or 4 when you're coming down for the home straight.
Yeah.
So yeah, unlucky. He's a really good. I reckon he's like a 3:45, 1500 meter guy as well.
Well, he might be right in that pack then, that first pack.
Yeah, he'll be right in there. So my statement about there's not many guys around that time was probably incorrect.
Yeah,
there's a whole lot of guys right around like 14 dead and 14.03 or 14.05. Perfect. Funny big moose take that. A few guys down.
No, mate, I am the old man in the field, I reckon. I'm looking there going, everyone's about 10 years younger than me here.
Yeah, you're probably the only guy that's run under 2:20 though, and you've done it by 6 minutes. Bit of strength.
It's a different sport, 5Kers versus marathons.
I'm just trying to build you up. I'm trying to build your confidence here.
I know, yeah. And I'm gonna I don't need confidence build up. I'm pretty good at being realistic at where I'm at. I don't think I can run as fast as you said, but I will have a crack at this run. The plan will be, what's like, why would you go out conservative in a race like this? What's there to gain?
Don't you think you could run that fast, Brad? Off the
Brady will, Brady will have you sitting off the back of Stewie by the end of this show.
No, I just know. Really, I just look at your Strava, and it's just like from the middle of November through to like, yeah, now, it's just pretty solid. And you've
like, I'm not saying Moose can't do it, but when you ran 14.09, you were doing some quick stuff. Like, I think that's probably like, Moose will be relying on his strength. He hasn't done a lot of like, not that you need speed, but he hasn't done a lot of that sustained like low 14 minute whatever pace. What pace is that on the like 66s or something?
Like
67?
68 dead is 14.10.
Yeah. So yeah, I was thinking somewhere in like the 14 teens.
I think, yeah, well, we'll see, won't we? We'll see.
Yeah.
Do you want to put a bet on it, Croaks? Put a 6-pack of beers or something?
Nah, not really. We'll just see.
It's a safe bet for you, Brad, I reckon.
All right, Brad, over to you all week and tell us about it.
All right, so Monday I did an hour after work, 4:15s. And then Tuesday we headed out to Stromlo for our group session. Session was 4 by 5 minutes, off a 90 seconds jog, or for me it ended up turning into a float. So did that around the 2.5K loop, so a few extra sort of undulations. Didn't go too bad. Like, I don't really look too much about what I'm running for each split on the cross country course, just because of the undulation. So it's sort of more effort, but it was like 3:08, 3:11, 3:14, 3:06. But like the gradient adjusted pace was all pretty similar. And then I was floating, anywhere from sort of, the first one was 4 minute K pace, and then the last one was like 3:30s. So that was, well, on the Garmin it was like 3:15s for the session. Then Wednesday, got out sort of around lunchtime for 20 odd K, 4:15s again. Listened to a couple of episodes of Road to Nowhere season 2. Then Thursday, what did I do Thursday? Just under 11K out at Mulligan's. And then Friday was my second session of the week. So we met out at the AIS in the morning. So there was like 4 of us. And there was actually a few people that had raced the night before who had just actually finished up an easy run. So like Katrina Bissett was there, Lyndon Hall, Matt Clark. So actually Matt Clark jumped in for our warm-up because he was doing like 80 minutes and he'd only done 40 when we turned up. And then the session was a 3-lap progression. So there's this loop around the AIS and it's pretty much bang on 3K. And so my plan was to pretty much run like close to 3:30s for the first lap, close to 3:20s for the second lap, and sub 3:10s for the last. And it went pretty well, like 3:27s for the first 3K, 3:18s and 3:06s. So I was pretty happy with, and so that ended up being 3:17 average, which like it's one of those sessions where like on paper it's like, oh yeah, you've run 30 minutes at 3:17s, but it's like a lot hard. It's, you know, a lot easier to run just 3:17s for 30 minutes than to do it that way. So I was pretty happy with how well I was able to sort of hold it together in that last lap, because going into the third lap, like it didn't feel super smooth, and I'm like, oh, 3:10s might actually be pretty hard here. But no, it was good. Then Saturday, I just did an hour in the morning. Had a few like cooler mornings, which has been nice. So 4:21s for the hour there. And then on Sunday, one of the guys I coach, Rob, he was doing sort of 30K, including a 5K sort of marathon effort towards the back end of it. So I said I would join him for that. So we started at Yarrabee Pond, ran out to Mulligan's and then back. He got rolling. Like I was trying to actually hold him back a little bit, and we probably averaged 4:12s for the first 23K. And then
you were trying to hold him back?
No, seriously, he would ride into the, I was just like, because you know he's probably looking to run like 2:40 in the 2:40s for the marathon, and we're rolling a lot quicker than he normally does on his Sundays. And I'm just like, how you feeling? Like basically every 15-20 minutes, because I'm just like, I don't know, this could go pear-shaped, because we didn't start till 9:30 because his kids had swim lessons, and by the time we finished it was close to 24 degrees, which is getting pretty warm. And I guess he just had that sort of mentality where he wanted to just try and I guess get to the 5k in a bit more of a fatigued state. And but he nailed the whole thing, so we ended up averaging like 405s, 406s for the 30K. And it made me realize that, like, I'm not, like, the marathon fitness is so different to, like, 5 and 10K, which is probably where I'm, you know, that's probably my sweet spot at the moment. Because I got to, like, 23K, and the idea of, like, having to just sort of kick down and run, like, when you're in a little bit, in a bit of fatigued state, I'm like, this used to be really easy, whereas now it's just like, this is a bit of a grind. And actually not that enjoyable. So anyway, that was my week. 133.7K. Yeah.
8 weeks of 130 average, just looking at your Strava now.
Yeah, so pretty much, yeah, it's been, I think my lowest week in the last eight has been like 125, and my highest has been sort of 133, 134. So just really consistent for 2 months.
And pretty much 2 hours every Sunday at a pretty quick pace.
I've done 2 hours. Actually, and going into yesterday, I really thought that we would be running closer to like 4:25s, 4:30s for the first hour 40, and then we'd kick down to sort of 3:45s or whatever for the 5K. But Rob was on a bit of a mission. So anyway, but he'll take a few easy days now.
Do you plan on having a week where you recover and you don't run as much?
Yeah, so I spoke to a few of the guys that I've been training with, like a couple of youngsters. So on that three-lap progression, there's this young guy, actually he's a Patreon supporter, Charlie Hamilton. He was a cyclist and he's really just got into running recently. So he actually ran the first two laps with me and then had a bit of a break and did some stuff afterwards. But they want to do this Bankstown 5K in a few weeks. And so what we're going to do is there's him and another guy going to help me out in a couple of Fridays' time to do a 5K at the track. So what they might do is do 1K, like 1K, sit out a K, do another K. So I'll do that. And then 2 weeks after that, I'll run. Actually, then the week after that, I'm going to pace those boys for a 9-minute 3K. And then the week after that, we're going to race. So I will have a light week. I'll probably keep it around that 125 to 130 for another week or two, and then I'll back off. Probably back off this weekend long run a little bit, just because I'm doing a time trial the following Friday.
So Friday week, so which would be like, I don't know, the 10th or something?
12th maybe.
12th, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So I plan to do a 5K then I'll do a 3K the following Friday with, you know, something afterwards, and then race the following Saturday.
Exciting. This is good. Yeah. Good from you.
Yeah, so, but I think, and like, I don't think with this mileage I need to have a massive down week. It's probably more just, you know, going a bit slower, a bit shorter on a Sunday. That's probably the only thing I need to change.
You feel all right? You're not too fatigued or anything?
Other than this sickness that I think I'm about to get, I feel okay, yeah.
Good.
That being said, like yesterday I found it probably a bit harder than, like, you know, 4.06s is pretty much my standard, like, a long run pace, but I think maybe the heat got to me towards the end. So, like, when you finish and it's 24 degrees, you know, over 30K, it sort of just does wear you down a little bit compared to if it was 12 or whatever. But, no, body's actually in pretty good shape.
Huge difference in that weather, I reckon. It's been good with some of those cooler mornings, though. We've had similar here. I did 12K Monday morning, bit of Ethiopian zigzagging going on, which was good. At 12K, 4.55 pace in the afternoon, got out for 6K, 4.26 pace. Tuesday morning, had a workout, 8x1K, straight road, 2K down, 2K back, 2K down, 2K back, 90 seconds walk between. Love this workout. I was feeling good. This is the best I've felt in a long time. And I feel like I'm saying that every week, because every week I'm trying to just get a bit fitter and a bit more comfortable working out. I thought I had like 302 to 303 down for the plan here. I thought that would be kind of similar times of what I'd be hitting. And first one felt amazing, running 301. Second one was 259. And then I thought maybe we'd had a tailwind going down for 2K. But now when we went back up, it was 258, 258, and then back down 257, 257, 256, and the last one 251. So I just chucked in a fifth gear a bit and just emptied the tank a bit in that last one. But most of them going through a minute and a half. When I looked down my watch, I was probably sitting at 255s, and I just put the brakes on a bit in the second half just to make sure I could get through the workout. And yeah, cool morning, probably the first cool morning for a workout. And I don't know, it just feels like you got that extra breathing after coming off the summer heat. Quick 2K cool down after that one before getting to work. Easy 6K in the afternoon, 4.34 pace. And then Wednesday, met up, Moose, with one of the Surf Coast Track Club legends down there, Grant Simpson. You know Grant? Mm. The president, isn't he? Secretary, something? What's his official title down there? Just Big Dog.
Old guy
from the Surf Coast Track Club. He's a legend, though. Isn't he a good bloke? Met up with him in Moama. We did 45 minutes together. Archie, we actually bumped into Archie, then he joined us as well. Real good fella, good for a chat. Enjoyed, it's always good when people come into town and they can run and they, you know, take them through the local trails and stuff. So that was good seeing him. Then I also got out for, originally I was only going to do like 6 or 8K in the morning, but we just lost track of time just because we were talking and stuff, and it ended up being 10K. So I just did 10K again in the afternoon instead of making it like 14 or 12. I just thought that might have been a bit too much for a recovery day. That was at 4.33 average. On Thursday, I just did like that 30-minute tempo run I spoke about last week around that 3.30 pace, just under 160 beats per minute. I just did half an hour easy and then half an hour into that. Probably didn't feel as smooth as it did the week before, but that 8x1K I reckon was still hanging around in the legs. And like, I really just do this to feel and just run around the streets and ticking that one off.
So hey, you probably think we're going to ask the same question, Bruce. Why have you gone to like 2.5 sessions a week all of a sudden?
Yeah, because on a Thursday, I don't work on a Thursday. So that's like the day for me to, well, I did actually this week. So last week when I did it, it was because Thursday is the day where I don't have to fit like all the running into an hour. So I thought it'd be a good day to do. I think last Thursday I did Deke's Quarters on that day. So I kind of went to that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, just because if I go Tuesday, Saturday, I think it's too long of a gap. So that's why I put like a half workout in there, and I'm not actually doing something that's really difficult. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I could do strides. Like I thought about maybe I do strides on the Thursday, but occasionally when I've been doing summer, like some strides, occasionally that like hammy kind of flares up a bit, just like the next 24 hours, 48 hours. So I thought I'll work on something that's strength based instead of something that's speed based.
Yeah. Like I don't mind that whole Tuesday, Thursday, especially then if you make if you don't do a midweek long run on the Wednesday,
yeah,
but you do like a 70 minutes with like just a tempo to feel, and then you do a Saturday. Like the only thing is it means that your long run definitely needs to be like slow and easy, yeah. And it's probably more suited to 5 and 10K as opposed to like marathon, because it doesn't really, you can't do a session on the Saturday and a hard long run on Sunday,
And if you notice, I've only been doing like an hour 45 the last two Sundays, and they've been at like, I think last week was 4:35 average and this week was 4:26 average, like instead of like that 4:10, 4:15 I'd usually hover around. So I'm doing that now, but I think I've got to work some stuff out at work because it's just having this Thursday off's good, but if I'm doing a workout on the Tuesday and then I can't do another decent one to the Saturday, it's just not gonna work. So I've got to reschedule some things. But yeah, that's exactly why I'm doing it at the moment. 14K easy on the Friday at 4:32s. Nice and cool morning, so I went and did this like single track that I haven't done throughout the whole of summer just because I get scared of snakes. So that's back on the training schedule. Friday night ran past the Echuca Bombers and Moama Magpies. We're having a practice match, which was good. Just hundreds of cars there. This is the first time I've had country footy back going for ages. So that was really good to see the community getting around to watch the footy. And then on Saturday, I did similar kind of session to Deke's Quarters. I want to do something similar, but without it being exactly the same, because I just compare it to Deke's Quarter straight away and I just probably try and race it. So I did 6x400 with 200 metres float and then a 200 with 200 metres float. So it works out to be 6K exactly. Kind of working at 70s for the 400 and the 200 floats between like 40 and 42s. The original plan was to try and run the 200 a bit quicker, but they were pretty much all at 35s. But yeah, that was good. Archie jumped in and out for half it, and this local kid footballer, he was warming up. His brother plays for Carlton, and he's a pretty good handy footballer himself. He was meant to do some workout, but we talked him into joining in with us, so he'd jump in every couple of reps as well. So yeah, all up, that was 6K in 18:59, and just one of those ones that it just hurts because you can just never recover. Easy Sunday, 24K, 4:26s. 1 hour 46 minutes. Just did a nice loop, Arch and I, and then that was the week. I think I ran like 138 k's, which is good, and room to move. Like put that long run out, go back to two sessions a week, get some warm ups a bit bigger, and a lot of my doubles have just been 6K. Get them to 8K, and maybe I'll be at 160K in maybe 4 or 5 weeks time. That's the plan.
What are you training for then?
I think I'm going to run that Collingwood 5K. You seen that one advertised?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, just because I was talking to the boys organising it, and a couple of Bendigo boys who moved down there now and involved with the Collingwood Athletics Club, and they were saying it's chilled out vibes and no spike rules will be enforced. So,
oh my goodness.
Suits me to a T, so that might be my return to the track. And then I think I might run Canberra half marathon. Get up and see you, Croaks.
Yeah, nice.
I just want to get back on the roads, and there's just nothing. Like, other than Hobart, which is that Easter weekend, which I don't, unless we all go down as a big family, I can't see myself getting to. So Canberra might be the next best option.
But I'm Canberra will be good. There'll be a few units there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do the work to be able to do the work, really. And it'll be interesting to see what even just get a park around something. I don't know. I just want to train. I'm just super motivated at the moment. Just want to put some weeks together. But anyway, this is meant to be a quick show, fellas, so let's thank some Patreon supporters. Kick us off, Bradley.
All right, my shout-out this week's to Regan Bones. Regan lives over in New Zealand in the Bay of Plenty area. I've actually been coaching Regan for about 2 years. He's run 15:12 for 5K, just a touch over 32 for 10. He ran 71 low at Melbourne Half Marathon in 2019. And he ran 2:36 for a marathon. So he has been battling some Achilles issues. Super talented runner. Like he's done all this off sort of, 90K sort of weeks. And he's going to be a dad in the next couple of days. So thanks for your support, Regan. And hope everything goes well over the next few days.
Yeah, good luck there, Regan.
Sorry for the listeners there. Viv's just making racket.
Oh, I thought that was Moose throwing something at a wall.
Nah, it's Viv.
When we started talking about kids again. Moose, what are you thinking?
Kirsty McInnes from Heidelberg West in Victoria. Maybe Kirsty ran Run for the Kids in 2017. Maybe estimated bests on Strava as 25:56 and 104 for 10K or an hour four. May have run Darabin Park Run at the end of January. Sounds like she's pretty tightened up on her Strava, Kirsty is. If we're going to go off that 25:56 and 104, gee, I think we'll give it to the 25:56.
I was really scraping the barrel with Kirsty. Couldn't find much better at all.
Yeah, I can see.
Mm. Thanks for the support, though, Kirsty. I was hoping you were going to make up some, just, you know, pad that one out a bit more, Moose.
When did you actually make stuff up? I got nothing to go off.
Your job, Brady, for us to be able to pad it out.
Could have said she has two kids or she's a nurse or something like that. I don't know. Just throwing something out there. Lewis Novi, I'm going to thank you. Carlton, North Victoria. Maybe an ex-triathlete. Looks like he does more cycling than running these days. Estimated best. See, people just got to start using that PB section on Strava. Estimated best. That's what I'm pulling from everywhere. Yep. 21:53 5K. 47:47 for 10K. Maybe enjoys bushwalking. Also, Lewis wrote in the other week to our Instagram page. Did you see that, Brad? I think he was writing in to tell us about Mitch Dyer as a commentator. I reckon his mates with Mitch Dyer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I think Lewis may have written in to tell us about last week's Patreon, that pro cyclist. A few people did said,
that I got guy a couple was, messages. Yeah,
he was legit, like that's him. People suggesting we interview him and stuff. He was just like a freak junior and then went to cycling and picked that up real quick as well.
Yeah.
So it's always good to tie up some loose
much
ends.
Much better coin as a professional cyclist.
You know, it depends on who you are. Depends on what level you're at, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, over in like the people on the pro contracts over in Europe, they're on big, big money.
What, just like base level ones?
Well, yeah, like it's pretty massive.
Who would be the most paid distance runner in Australia?
Oh,
Stewie?
Jess Hull?
Jess Hull?
Mm. I'm going to say Jess Hull.
What do you reckon they'd be on? What kind of coin are you thinking? 200 grand a year?
It's not cool to guess this sort of stuff.
True. I just wanted to compare it to cycling. I was going to say, Brad, what are the base level pro cyclists on?
I'd say the pro cyclists are on a higher base than the pro runners.
Well, a pro runner base is zero, really. Like, there's a lot of pro runners out there that go to the Olympics that are on $0.
You can't Google, isn't it? In athletics, it's all confidential as well. You can't Google it like in other sports, so they don't never know what they've got to compete with.
There's not a lot of visibility to what people do get paid because it is contracts, and there's a lot of the contracts are not complicated, but there's things attached to them. Mm. So there'll be a base, and then there'll be a lot of bonuses attached to teams you make, medals you win, races you do well in, PBs you run, that kind of thing.
Instagram followers you have, stuff like that, you reckon's in them?
Some of them probably have like conditions of the contract, like a work contract that you have to sort of do that kind of stuff. But I think a medium cycling contract, how about this? If you're going to the Olympics for cycling, chances are the sponsor's paying you hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's not like that in athletics.
Mm, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Good way to put it.
This episode of the Inside Running Podcast is sponsored by New Balance, helping athletes find their better. The New Balance 1080 version 11 is the brand's pinnacle cushioning shoe within the Fresh Foam X collection and provides the flagship expression of how runner data, supreme comfort, and cutting-edge design visually comes to life, all in one plush and sophisticated package. Join the New Balance Strava Challenge and complete a 10K run between February 28 and March 13 to receive $50 off any purchase over $150 online. Simply log on to Strava, join the challenge, and get running.
All right, this week's episode sponsored by New Balance. Of course, you would have heard the reeds up the top there. The 1080 version 11 review this week. I did my first run in this morning. Actually, looking forward to talking about this. Big improvement for me. But as always, we'll hear from you, Moose, to tell us a bit about the specs, a bit about the design of this shoe, all that kind of shoe dog chat.
Oh, well, this is New Balance's most cushion neutral shoe. It uses a foam called Fresh Foam X, which is their sort of plushest stuff, not their race foam, which is Fuel Cell. It's their what they put in their training shoes. So it is a pretty soft, spongy feel. It's the same midsole, actually, as the version 10. So if you wore the version 10, underneath your foot will be the same. Same outer sole, same stack heights and everything, which is an 8mm offset heel to toe. It's got a big, broad footprint, and that footprint allows the shoe to be stable given that it's quite a high stack height. So it suits someone, well, for me, I feel it suits someone who lands maybe more on their forefoot rather than through their rear foot, just because it's more stable through the front. Through the back, it is quite soft, and the heel cut, which although it is different from the version 10, it's still a, what they call like a hyper heel. It's not a solid plastic piece, and the knit, the upper material that they use is called knit. Well, it's hyper knit, and the 1080 is the shoe that has like the most flexible knit on it. So when you put, if how I just sort of have people test how strong the uppers are and how secure they are is if you put your hand inside it and then you push outwards, as in you're simulating like what a foot would do if it was rolling over or if it was on a camber, and you can sort of feel the resistance in that upper material, the rigidity of it, and how well that might keep you on top of the shoe. Well, the 1080 V11 has a pretty loose knit, so it's very sort of airy in the forefoot. You don't feel like you're really strapped down as much, and that's really nice if you don't like things around your foot. If you like a more open experience in the shoe, where that might struggle a little is if you're on trails, or if you have any type of sort of stability tendon issues around your ankle, because the shoe might like not be stable enough if you're landing awkwardly on it. For someone who lands like quite heavy in a inverted position, then yeah, you might want a little bit more structure to your upper as well. The improvements that I think they've made from the previous version is they've got rid of, on the very bridge of the foot, there used to be quite a tight strap that would cause some pressure on top of the foot for me in particular. They've got rid of that strap, and it's a lot more accommodating there. It's a lot more smooth and comfortable, and I've had no issues with it so far. I just wore it tonight as well, Brady, and for me, that has been a massive improvement. The other real change they made is in the heel cup, as I mentioned. They've got rid of like a seam through the back, and so it should be a smoother fit. Some people, I'll let you tell Brad, but some people did struggle with irritation from the actual material on their heel. So I think it's been a good update. It's gone up $10 from $250 to $260, but it's a workhorse shoe. It's high mileage foam. It's good.
Jeez, he's good at that stuff, isn't he, Brad?
Yeah, you must have. You should get into the shoe business, Moose.
Oh, yeah.
I love it when people ask for shoe reviews. You just introduce it and then they throw it to Moose.
That's my job.
Were you reading that or something, or you just off the top of your head?
No, I was on Instagram, looking at Instagram, as I said.
I can hear your phone vibrating. I thought people were messaging you going, you are killing this shoe review right here. Yeah, good work. Brad, you had issues with blisters or something, didn't you, in the first one?
Yeah, so the last version, it's on that collar of the shoe. It was basically, there was a seam that joined the front of the collar and the back of the collar, and it would pretty much rub right under the, it's called the lateral malleolus, you know, the bony part of your ankle on the outside. That material just like dug right in underneath, and I ended up with like some pretty bad blisters. So, yeah, I'd put in like an extra inner sole and stuff just to boost myself up a little bit higher. But this new version, I haven't had any issues with that because it's all just one piece now. It's not two pieces seamed together there. So that's been the biggest improvement for me.
And the first thing I messaged you, Moose, when they arrived was had they changed the heel cup for this version? Because I felt in the last ones, like I could still run in them and still do plenty of Ks in them. I just felt a bit, I don't know if it was just tightness on my left foot. Like, I don't know why on my left and not my right, but a bit of like irritation with my Achilles, just because it felt like I was super locked in. So I had a few reservations putting this one on, and straight out of the box, 12K this morning, no dramas. Felt good, loved every step. I think that's a big improvement they've made there for people who may not have enjoyed that heel cut the first time around.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you want any comments about the colours, boys? That's where I can contribute. I'll stay in my lane here and just talk about the colours on it, the cosmetics. Big improvement from version 10. The red that and the orange we got in version 10, this is like blue and yellow. This is definitely a shoe you get away with at the cafe for sure.
The blue one?
Yeah, the blue one's way better. It's like beachy
at
kind
a cafe?
Of thing. Yeah.
Oh, bright maybe colours. A
bit of look at me about it, I reckon, this one.
The last version did come in black and white as well.
Absolutely. So does this one.
No, we got red and yellow or something.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Some, didn't we?
I know we got it, but it doesn't mean that that's the only one out there.
I only compare the ones we get. So I reckon this is a much improvement colour coordination. You can get a blue top on, a bit of a blue singlet, maybe with a Malmo Bowling Club logo on it and stuff like that. Just match it right up. Cosmetically, you look good hooking around. Anyway, we done, mate. Moose, anything else to add about the shoe? Get it from the running company Ballarat or newbalance.com.au. If you join the Strava Challenge too, I think you get $50 off. Thanks, New Balance, to sponsor another episode of the Inside Run Podcast. Running news, boys. Run the Bridge. Woke up yesterday morning. I'm so excited waking up Sunday knowing I could turn this live stream on. The coverage was really good. Split screen. I was excited. The women went off first. Geez, it was a good race. Moose, did you end up catching much of it? I know you were having reception issues.
Yeah, we ended up, Brie and I walked out the front of the house that we were staying at in Daleshead and sat in the car and watched it on the phone. It was good. It was a great race. I mean, there's just so much talent in that field. All relevant ladies too. So all girls that are competing on an international stage. You had Andrea Secafin, who's a world championship finalist. Same with Jean Gregson. You got Ali, who finished 13th in the world champs in the 10K, and Jess, who's been to the Olympics before. So that is just pretty special race to watch, really.
It was, wasn't it? What about when they had Welshie doing the commentary at one stage, and there was like four of them, like four across the bridge, like no one was actually leading. It was like they all had their own little lanes, and they were just going like head to head, and then you could just see Jess like 10 or 15 seconds back. It was just an awesome shot of just showing the strength of women's distance running here in Australia, and that was like 8.5K in.
And the fact that, like, we talk about Lisa Waitman's course record, 32:41, was actually very strong. And I know, like, there was some past winners down in Hobart who were saying it was an untouchable record before the race. And Jen's come out and run 20 seconds faster than it. Andrea in fourth place equaled it, and everyone else ran quicker. So that sort of shows what happens when you can put these fields together.
And Jess was only 14 seconds off it, like in fifth. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that probably would have been good enough to win it most other years if you're only 14 seconds off the course record.
Definitely.
It was such a fascinating race to watch as well, because it was just so unpredictable. Like, Jen Gregson, to her credit, spent the majority of time at the front making the moves, like putting a big move up that big hill, probably 3.5-4K in. But then every time they kind of flicked back to the women, there was just like another person was having a crack at it. Like, Ali, like, she did well to cover that move when the one up the hill, and then she kind of spent some time near the front, and then Sinead at about 8K, 9K, went to the front after it looked like she was dropping off a bit. And then Jen was just the constant. She was always the one at the front trying to cover the move, and got away with the win in the end.
Yeah, she was doing she was going uphill faster and then backing off on the downhill, and I think it was more of a competency thing. Very good uphill, and maybe just didn't have like the natural flow downhill that some of the other girls had. So she was able to. So the moves getting made were able to be covered on the downhill section. Maybe if there was an uphill into a flat, that's when Jen could have broken away earlier. But I think the downhills sort of kept the other girls in closer contact.
Mm. And then you speak to Ali, like, she'll talk about it on Road to Nowhere this week, but she kind of come home super strong. Looked like if there was a couple more 100 metres, she might have even picked up W.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's can't really say that, because it doesn't need to be a couple of hundred more metres. But she finished really strongly, and it was a downhill finish. She's a strong downhill runner. She got helped out a little by Sinead, who took off with 2K to go and took out drew out Jen, and then and she probably emptied her bucket a little earlier. So Ali was able to sort of tag on to a dying Sinead and get around her to come through and chase, well, try to chase down Jen, but 5 seconds is a fair bit, really.
Yeah, it was probably the angle, you know, when they showed him coming front on as well. It looked like Ali was a lot closer than she probably actually was.
Yeah, but great race. Like, great really race. Cool.
Amazing. Yeah. Croaks, you watch it? Any comments on it?
Well, yeah, I just saw the last sort of 5 minutes. But, yeah, it looked like, as you said, like they were all making sort of different moves. It looked like Jen was going to run away with it at one point. And then when they came back, it was like Sinead was making the move to catch up. And then, yeah, Ellie probably finished, like, the strongest out of all of them. But, yeah, and then in the men's, I saw when I flicked over, Jack and Liam were still together. So it must have been, like, maybe 2.5, 3K to go. And Joel was just off the back. And then I think they came around a corner and Jack just went bang.
Yeah.
And, like, opened up a massive gap in such a short space of time. And that was pretty much the race over. So he won in 28:28, Liam was second in 28:51, and Joel, first race in ages, was 28:59, which is it's pretty impressive off the amount of running he does and sort of the inconsistent nature of his training.
He's a smooth mover too, isn't he? Good.
I think he's just a natural athlete.
They also went, or Jack did, he went under Brett's course record in 2019 by 2 seconds. So two course records. They didn't catch the women, so Jen Gregson picked up the bonus $2,000 for winning the battle of the sexes down there. So I'd add with her $3,000 first prize. Good payday, $5,000. Anything else to add there, boys, before we move on?
No.
Croaks?
Oh, just in terms of the quality of the event, in terms of, the live stream was great. Came across super clear, but also, like, the finishing arch, you know, how it was all electronic.
Yeah,
and
digital, yeah.
Like, yeah, I'd say it was probably, like, one of the most high-tech in the country, and it's pretty cool, you know, it's happening down in Tassie. So, well, she's doing some pretty good things down there.
Yeah, and Pat Smith on the mic, he was pretty good. He's done that a few times now. Mm. I enjoyed his commentary. ACT Steeple Croaks, this was a bit of a head-to-head like up there.
Yeah, so there was like a Grand Prix here in Canberra on Thursday night. And, so the steeple was taken out by Ben Buckingham. He pretty much made his move with just over 400 to go. So Nipple was in front up until that point. He won in 8:32.39 and Nipple was second in 8:35.48. So pretty good first up run for Ben. I did listen to his interview afterwards, and he was pretty stoked to sort of run that time off, you know, not a lot of steeple practice or steeple races.
Yeah, I think that's one of those events you have to work your way into the season. You get more in touch with your hurdling and your barrier jumps.
Yeah.
As the season goes on.
Sandy Point half marathon. There's some interesting results out of this one. Lisa Waitman, she rocked up. That's a half marathon and 10K. Real kind of like community low-key event. Same organisers that put on Run Melbourne, I think. So like we're not talking any prize money, which I know of, I don't think. She ran 31:49 in the 10K to come second overall. So I've just spoken about the Tassie results, 32:20. This course, obviously, a lot flatter. It's a PB on the road for her. Brett Ellis won the men's 10K in 30:49. He was in that same race with us, Bendigo 5K Frenzy Moose. Brett?
Mm.
He was. Dave Ridley won the men's half in 66:35, and Madeline Heiner won the women's half in 75:50. So some couple of Olympians, two Olympians getting around there. And what'd you think of that 31:49 when you heard about that result, fellas? It's quick.
It's very quick, really. Like, considering what Zatopek, how that was run, the time
what was that
run
31:47, wasn't it? Something like that,
30. I think, I think it was 30 something. Oh, so Brad will know. Brad will know. What did Rose run at Zatopek?
Was it like 39?
Yeah, I'll go with that. It's pretty solid. It would have been great to see Lisa with the other ladies down in Hobart. Considering like she's obviously in very good form running that time, it would have just added another one in the pack down there.
Yeah, 31-39, confirming that. Yeah, I found it odd, like, especially with the prize money up for grabs. Like, if you can replicate a result like that on that course, and we know she had the course record there beforehand, would have been a potential okay payday. And to just be mixing it with, you know, that stellar lineup.
But it's a good sign for her because, you know, I haven't seen any race results from her for a long time. So to do that sort of first up is promising.
Yeah, she's with ASICS now. I wonder if she was wearing that new, like, Sarah Hall shoe. Do you know, Moose? Have you seen any photos of what she was wearing?
I didn't see what Lisa was wearing. But Jess was wearing that. Look, I'm not sure if it was the same as the Sarah Hall one. It was the same one that Yuki Kawachi was wearing, or the same colour, and it looked like the same shoe anyway. That she wore that down at Run the Bridge. Everyone's wearing those shoes now.
Yeah, it's, and Ali had the new Balance one on, didn't she? But she had to paint over it because the colorway hasn't been released yet. Is that right?
Oh, you'll ask Ali about that. I'm not sure of the specifics around that.
Okay, save that to Road to Nowhere. Send that question through to Nick Hill. The other bit of running I watched over the weekend was this Trials and Miles Texas qualifier over in the States. Sidious Mag, they did like the broadcast, free to watch American distance running, which was amazing because usually it's always behind a paywall with a flow track or runner's space, whereas this was YouTube link, Kyle Merber, and
Chris Chavez,
yeah, they were both doing the commentary, which was really great. We had one Australian action. Oh, Morgan McDonald was on the stream doing a bit of commentary at one stage, which is pretty cool. Charlie Hunter from University of Oregon, he went around in one of the 1500 meters and ran 3:37, so edging a bit closer to that 3:35 qualifier. If you want to, you know, we'll put in the show notes, it's probably worth going back if you're into American distance running for two big days of distance events. I think they went from 800 all the way through the 10K. Catch any of it, fellas? Anything to talk about it? We're moving on to Lake Biwa.
Yeah, I watched it. It was good coverage. Although Viv wasn't really impressed with me spending hours on the couch on Sunday afternoon.
Carly was watching also
impressed. Because they're all like 5 and 10K races, so they take a while to get through.
And they just kept coming, didn't they?
Yeah.
What about how they got a drone and they were just talking about how cool it was that they've got a drone on the track and then the guy flew it into the goalpost?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Drone just hit the deck. Lake Biwa, Moose, your hunting ground where you're in your 2:14. See these results yesterday?
Oh, well, this is also Croaks' hunting ground as well.
Yeah, 2:17.
This is incredible. I still can't believe the numbers that have come out of this race.
Didn't some 39-year-old bloke run 2:08 or something as well? Did you see that?
The Mongolian dude.
So the year I ran 2:17, I finished 20th.
Did you?
Yep, I was 20th that year. It was a tough year. It was hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I was 21st. No.
Yeah.
I might have been 26th.
Were you really?
2:14. Yeah.
So tell us, Moose, about, you know, the depth of this then compared to our 2 years.
Yeah, well, the guy who won, he ran in the Japanese national record, which with Japanese marathoning pedigree, that is pretty outstanding, and especially what they're doing lately. So he ran, his name was Kengo Suzuki, and he ran 2:04.56 to win Lake Biwa and also take the national record. Now he takes Suguru Osaka's record, who is just the pin-up boy of Japanese running. So very, like, it's a really big breakthrough for Kengo, because he was only a 2:10 guy before this.
Decent so jump.
He's taken so much off his PB to run this. Now that was very impressive, obviously, but these other numbers will astound you. So there were 40 Japanese men under 2:10. There was 5 under 2:07. There was 100 under 2:15.30, and there was 174 under 2:20. Now this, see, the immediate thing people say here, right, is, oh, shoes, okay? But to me, that's not the that might have an effect. Like, that might have a that may play a role in this, and it probably does play a role. However, we've always looked to Japan for the half marathoning, and every time since I began running back in like 2009, there's always those two or three races a year where you see the crazy depth in the half marathons over there. So as an example, in 2006, under, there was 397 men under 70 minutes for the half marathon. Now, I think 500th place in that, oh no, 200th place in that race was like 65 minutes.
And that was only, that's only their college students as well, I think. That's not their pros.
That's right. So we were, the question back then was, what the hell are they doing wrong for the marathon? Because in that year, no Japanese athlete had broken 2:10. Now, if no Japanese athlete is breaking 2:10, but you've got 397 under 70 minutes, something's not right. They're not doing something correctly for their marathoning, or something's going wrong there. So to me, it's a shock. Of course it's a shock when you see numbers like that, but it's not like there was precedent in Japan where there hasn't been depth like this before. It's just now we're starting to
see. Totally agree. The other thing that I reckon helped this event was, like, Japan has so many, or has a few major marathons, and so the fields are often quite diluted, yeah. Whereas there's obviously less marathons around now. So pretty much all of the top Japan, well, basically anyone who of Japanese distance running turned up to this one. So you get the combination of the flat course, obviously ideal weather, but just so many people around. And, you know, it's like running a marathon. If you can get yourself in a pack, which obviously if you've got so many people running between 2:05 and 2:20, it just, you know, there's always going to be somebody to run with, which then leads to faster marathon times.
Yeah. Perfect combination, wasn't it?
Mm.
And even, you know, like Tokyo, was it not? Like that's something that usually would have sucked a few of them along.
And there's Beppu as well. So you take Beppu, Biwa, Tokyo, and you normally have maybe 20 or 30 doing really well at each of those, and you put them all in the one, so you got 100 doing well.
Even that Nobuoka one that I did, there was 10 guys under 2:12 or something that day. Like, they would have been here as well. How good's that guy, Kengo Suzuki? That's a name I could follow going forward. Do they still get that $1 million?
No.
They don't get that anymore?
I don't think the rewards there anymore.
Actually,
or the prize.
I think that was for before building up to the Olympics, the 2 years building up. And obviously he's not going to the Olympics either because their team's locked and loaded. I think he was 7th or 8th in that trial race when they had it.
It's one of the problems with trial races, isn't it?
Especially when a pandemic hits and everything gets delayed 12 months. Cool to see that. And that was the final year of the Lake Biwa Marathon.
Yeah, I know. That's sad.
It's not continuing. Mm.
That is sad. I would love to go back there again because that was just it's not the nicest city in the world, is it, that Itsu or whatever? But it's the people are so nice and the organizers are great and the history's there. You know, it's like, I think it was what, the 80 something race there or something?
But isn't it funny, Moose? It's like you had a good run there, so it could be the shittest city in the world, but you're always going to love it because it's because you had good memories.
Yeah, I absolutely hate the place.
I love it as well. Yeah. Nice little sushi train around the corner from the hotel after the race with a few beers.
Oh yeah, I went there. Tom DeCano. Yeah. It's a good spot. That was the 76th.
76th, yeah, geez. Impressive stuff.
I wonder why they're getting rid of it.
I said something to do with, I think, the maybe the timing of, I can't remember reading some statement, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hey, we might skip a listener question because we're on a bit of a fast show tonight. Moose on the loose, purchase of the week. Got anything?
Oh, I got something on the way. I'll talk about it when they get here. But first, the moose on the loose. Now, this isn't me ranting or anything, but I just thought it was really funny that when I looked up this race and the discussion, the Japanese half marathon in 2006, the discussion around why the Japanese were so good at half marathoning was they're wearing these lightweight racing flats. it's the secret over there. They all wear these tiny little racing flats and no one's injured and they can run super high mileage. And over in America, we're all wearing big fat training shoes and this is the problem. I'm like, fucking hell. The conversations are the same. It's all about accessory, ancillary shit we talk about where no one really wants to talk about the training and the culture and the commitment, the dedication that these people do, have for their sport and the love for it and just everyone wants to talk about the bullshit around it outside of that.
Yeah. You know, it'd be good to get Brett Lana back on the show, Croaks. I might chase him up. He'd be interesting, even just asking questions like that. Why is Lake B1 happening?
Pepper him about and talk about Tokyo, like the Olympics and stuff, an idea of the court. Because he put a lot of effort into doing recces of the course.
Yeah.
So he would go out like exactly the same time the marathon was on the same day one year before.
Talk about the weather and stuff like that.
Weather.
Dew point. I'll hit him up, Croak, see if we can tee that up. Do that, Miss Bear.
Hey, Moose, is the purchase of the week the Normatec boots?
Maybe.
Oh, I told you that'd be in the car.
That's a yes.
It was Ali and I got them as a joint like purchase so that we can both recover to our fullest potential.
Whose house do they stay at?
But because she's the best runner, she gets priority.
She gets them first, and then I can put my legs in the dirty, sweaty things after that.
We had a bloke up here who tried to start a business with he bought a pair, and then you'd go around to his lounge room and you'd put them on for like 20 minutes.
Watch the footy with him.
And you'd have to pay like a fee.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. People do that.
Do they?
But isn't it more of a, I've seen like those recovery spas or whatever, like where it's a legitimate business, not just somebody's like lounge room.
This guy was the ruckman for the local footy team. And then I just hit him up because the business fell down. So I hit him up like 3 months later and was like, hey, mate, can I borrow those boots for the next 4 weeks leading to this marathon? And they nearly went up to my chest, like, because he's like 205 centimetres tall. I'm like 170, and they were hitting me kidneys and stuff when it was like going on and off.
Is he married? Does he have a missus?
He got married not so long ago, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that. There's randoms just coming over, to the lounge room.
Maybe 20 bucks, thanks, mate.
It's like having a massage chair in your house. You just come and put some coins in and sit there for a bit.
Yeah, yep, that's it. So we're done. What's coming up? Box Hill Burn tomorrow night. Is Stewie going to break Craig Mottram's record? Yes or no, Brad?
We should talk about this.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about in this segment.
Yeah, yeah.
So Stuart McSwain is going to attempt to break Craig Mottram's Australian 5K record, which is, let me guess, 12:53.
Five? Come on, mate. You've got to know that shit.
I was trying to go off the top of my head. I swear Archie told me in the long run yesterday it was 12:53. And then did he run 12:58 at the Comm Games to come second or 57?
58.
Yeah. 12:55. Will he break it, Moose? Yes or no? And why?
Will he break it? Oh, shit. I don't think so. Again, it's very rare to see these records go, and especially on their smaller scale. I say smaller scale events, like it's not a Diamond League or anything. It's going to be hard work pacing this shit. You know, how long is Stewie going to be by himself? You've got Jack as a pacer, Jack Bruce, Liam Adams. Oh, is Liam Adams racing? Yeah, so I think the first... Actually,
Adam
let
Spencer.
Me... Jordan Williams is pacing Stewie, I believe, and so is Adam Spencer. They're the two that are going to go with Stewie, and you've got to wonder how many laps they can take him through before he's left on his own. Obviously, Stewie has this drive where he can time trial outstandingly, and when he gets by himself he can punish himself, but this is Craig Mottram's record, and it's a pretty good record. I just can't see it happening.
Well, Stewie's 13:05. Yeah, so the others, it's going to be a one-man show out front, you think? Because Matthew Ramsden's also there, Brett Robinson, Dave McNeil, Ryan Gregson, Liam Adams, Isaac Hayne, Andre Waring, Kieran Tor, Andrew Buchanan, Ben Buckingham. So yeah, I think expect that's going to be like three groups?
I think it's getting paced at 62 seconds.
62?
And then the next group is at 64s, and then there's another group at 66s. Yeah, so there's going to be three pace groups, and then 64s, I think, is the Olympic qualifier around 13:15 or so.
13:20 is
64s. Is it? Yeah, so it's around that. Yep.
Women, Brad, yes or no, will he do it?
Oh, like, I know, Brady, every time we get on here, like, you're basically calling an Aussie record to go down each week.
Hey, you're saying how many Aussie records have gone down the last year?
Yeah. I wouldn't bet against him. Put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised if he did it. Just because of, like, just the stuff he's been doing recently. And as Moose said, like, even at Diamond Leagues, he's happy to go to the front and pretty much drive the pace and does a lot of the pace making himself anyway. But, yeah, look, yeah, I reckon he'll go close. It'll be a PB and it'll be nice to see him actually, like, hopefully get under 13.
And just for the listeners, pacers can't jump in and out. So that's why he's going to have to be solo for a pretty big period of time. Because what's the 3K split? Quick.
Oh, it's like 840 or something.
740, you mean?
740?
Yeah. So like there. Those guys can't run 740, can they? Williams. Williams could.
He could, yeah. I mean, they'll be flat knacker.
So he's going to have to run 5 laps at least by himself.
Yeah, and look, he can do it, but even he's got to drop.
I mean, it's not 740. It's closer to 750, I think.
Yeah, I think it is too. I think it might be 747 or something. If you do them, I think is 750 is 13 minutes.
You'd think though, like somebody, you'd have to have a pace until at least 3K, and then you know, like 2K maybe you could probably hang on by yourself. But if the pace has gone before 3K, it's going to be it would be one hell of a run to do it.
It's 7:50. That's 22 seconds slower than his 3K PB. He should feel pretty comfortable going through in 7:50 if he's got two or three guys around him.
And that's why I wouldn't rule it out. If conditions are good, it's definitely on the cards.
Yeah. And so it'll be interesting too as the qualifiers, Olympic qualifiers. Ryan Gregson's in the race, so this is his chance to post a qualifier.
For the 5K. That's interesting. For the 5K, yeah.
Dave McNeil's in there. Matt Ramsden's in there. Brett Robinson's in there. All guys that have the ability to put times on the board to get themselves to the Olympics.
Women's race as well. This is going to be interesting. Melissa Duncan, Izzy Bat Doyle, Rose Davies, Natalie Rule, Lydia O'Donnell, Lauren Reed, Lauren Ryan. I do like how they've made these fields small, so no one's getting the lap, hopefully, getting in the way of potential qualifiers and records.
Yeah, it's a solid field again. Obviously, Izzy and Rose will be looking for that Olympic qualifier. Your interview with Rose, Brad, suggested that this was her distance. She thinks that, and so she's aiming for the 5K if she can get it.
Yeah. And I reckon, based on some of the stuff I've seen on Strava the last few weeks, she's certainly doing some workouts that would indicate that she could run like sub 15:10. I reckon.
Jen Gregson and Carly Thackeray to pace that one, so they should be able to get them. Oh, it's a big when Jen Gregson just raced on the Sunday, but she should be able to pull up a ride and then get them. You know, 3 or 4K. You think the same thing?
Yeah, it's again. Tough stuff. Olympic qualifiers don't just get given out these days. They are you're basically running like top 10, 15 Australian times ever to get a qualifier.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be exciting night of athletics. They're also going for the 1K record. Katrina Bissett, Keely Small, Abby Caldwell, Lyndon Hall, Madeline Murray, Georgia Hansen, Claudia Hollingsworth in that one. And then in the men's, Joey Deng, Peter Boll, Brad Mathis, Jack Lund, Adam Pike. It's deep. It's going to be amazing. Some athletes getting around there. So, hopefully you listen to this beforehand and tune in. Anything else coming up, fellas? Anything else? No. Brad, what are you doing?
I think we've pretty much covered it.
Moose, got anything else coming up in your life?
Not for me.
Not for you. Next week, we're counting down the top 10 greatest Australian female distance runners of all time in conjunction with International Women's Day. So I've been working on this. I've asked 15 people to submit their votes of their top 10 greatest ever using the criteria of PBs, rankings, their range over different distances, their performances at an international level. And it's been interesting seeing some of the votes come in, keeping a bit of a spreadsheet tally to see who's going to go top 10. And then we're hopefully going to come up with a bit of a production next week. Still waiting on your votes, Julian. You're about one of three I'm still chasing, so if you want to hurry that up any time now, that'd be good.
Busy. I don't know how you guys fit that stuff in.
This is just, yeah.
He just wants everybody else to do the research, and then he'll come and
I just pick the answers.
Yeah, well,
I just pick the best arguments.
I need you to do that because there's about six athletes who you could decide if they're in the top 10 or not.
All right.
Bits coming down to you.
Tough task.
It is a tough task. We're talking 800 through to the marathon as well. Before we maybe post it, the episode next week, I'll put it on our social media, seeing if anyone wants to put in their two bobs worth as well. I've been loving watching some of the old races just to try and find some old, because I'm not voting, but trying to find some of the old audio to like be able to include in the episode next week. So there's been some classic races I've been watching, and it's been good to learn some stuff as well along the way.
Why aren't you voting?
Because I'm going to put it all together. I don't think that, you know what I mean? Don't need me to vote. Some big dogs voting. Like, oh, I don't think I've got the credentials to vote, like you and Moose. But I think you two voting's okay, because you can discuss it and then put your votes in. Don't need me, though. Also, guessing comp on our Facebook page to guess the winners for tomorrow night and their times closest to the pin wins a signed Nike Stewie McSwain singlet, Moose.
Yeah, I think so. So, competition's up. Got the singlet ready to go. Just got to find Stewie.
Yeah, just got to get him after the race, pin him down. What happens if he doesn't win? What happens if Matthew Ramsden comes over the top of him? Do you just say, hey, you want to sign this instead?
Gets the Australian record.
Yeah. Matthew Ramsden's a bit of a beast, don't you? He might run under 13:10.
Might bring that two wouldn't singles, surprise me. Actually, it's a good idea.
I said to Carly today, I'm like, have you still got that old Facebook page? Because everyone's just guessing Stewie Rose. Mm-hmm. So I reckon if you guess Ramsden Izzy and there's two upsets, all you have to do, you put down 20 minutes of both of them, you're still going to win it.
Stewie rolls his ankle, hits the rail, hits off the he goes. Rail,
yeah, wakes up with gastro tomorrow morning, bang.
Oh, yeah. I'll put my prediction in now, actually, on our page.
What are you going to go, Crooks?
I'm going to go 12:57 for Stewie, and I'm going to go 15:08 for Rose.
Yeah, I wish I put mine on straight away because I didn't want anyone to do the same as me because I wanted to be first, but I wish I went a bit quicker for Stewie. Now we're working out those splits. What are you going to go, Moose?
I'm going to go 13:3, and then for Izzy, qualifier again? Or Rose?
I think it's 15:10.
Well, I'm going to go Rose at 15:10.
Ooh. Oh, she
point? Oh, I guess.
15:10.5.
That's rough.
I gotta pick some.
You're a real prick.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Rose, but
don't want anyone to be successful, eh? Unless it's you, Moose.
Look, I crunched the numbers, and that's what you've come out at.
You put in the Tin Man calculator, and that's what you've got. What would you? Yeah, it'd be good to win. Good to put up on the store. I'd get it all framed up and stuff. Put it in my lounge room. Stewie singlet. Anyway.
Yeah. Be a very good one.
Good prize, one of a kind of prize there. Thanks to Box Hill Burn. I think they're working with us in conjunction with that one. We're dumb fellas for another week.
Thank you again to this episode's sponsor, New Balance. You can join New Balance's 10K Strava Challenge via Strava.com or the Strava app. We'll be right back.